You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
I don't think it's our city councilors. They're not doctors. The person who needs to stand up and grow a spine is Dr. Graham Pollitt. I am saying to him this morning, recant, repent, revise, research, or resign.
I now have a lawyer in place, and we expect that if she comes on air this morning, we expect a full retraction of these false and misleading statements. If not, she will be hearing from my lawyer, in which case we will give her 5 working days to provide a written retraction of what is unequivocally false and misleading by deception or omission of material fact. And it will request that it be posted for interested parties. And it was an extensive review of the scientific literature, and I have to tell you, I haven't read the document, but what was presented is accurate, it should give everyone pause for concern.
I think that Canada is going to lead the beginning of the end of fluoridation worldwide.
So there it is. You've heard the debate on this issue of fluoride in the water. Now, there is an element to this story that is new this morning. The plan is to meet with on the air with Dr. Bryna Warshawski after the 10 o'clock news, although in the last few minutes we have learned that the health unit now has some reservations about that because of one of the clips that you have just heard. So we'll see where all of that goes. But one of the players, and there have been many in this debate, is Carol Clinch, who is a science writer from Waterloo. And she has been a prime player not only in London, Ontario, but in Waterloo and in Calgary and in a number of other cities where she has argued vigorously that we need to take fluoride out of the water. So she's been very successful in several of those communities, most recently, of course, the city of Calgary. We hope to have her on the line momentarily so that she can outline her case to us. In fact, we understand we have joined up with Carol Clinch now. Carol, I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Good morning, Andy.
Carol, can you, and this part is not new, but the part that about the action that you may take is new. In fact, we've learned about it in just the last few hours. But first of all, for those who have not heard, you have not only been very vocal about statements from our medical officers of health, you have filed a complaint about the things that they have said. Can you bring us up to date on that score?
Yes, I want the medical officers of health in London to make a public statement that they have made false and misleading statements, and I want this statement in writing so that it can be posted in a public place so that interested parties may read it.
What do you think are the chances of them doing that?
Oh, we'll wait and see.
If Dr. Warshawski and Dr. Pollitt are absolutely convinced that they're right, that there are no serious health effects, detrimental health effects from fluoride, should they not stick to their guns and continue to do what they're doing?
Well, let me make this perfectly clear. Safe drinking water is a basic human need, and the United Nations last year in 2010 stated that it was a basic human right. Public drinking water as a basic human need and a basic human right should not be used deliver a medication. The Supreme Court of Canada ruled in 1957, Metropolitan Toronto versus Forest Hill, that fluoridation is compulsory medication used for a specific health purpose. Drinking water should not be used to deliver medications. Why? Because fluoride products are unapproved, unregulated, by any government agency in Canada. And that may come as a surprise to not only the citizens of London, but the medical officers of health in London.
Okay, so you have, in fact, filed these complaints with the Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons.
Yes, I have.
Okay, so those are now on record and they have been filed.
Correct.
Okay, now, what are you looking for from the medical officers of health in London this morning?
Well, as I stated, I'm looking forward to hearing them publicly state that they have made false and misleading statements, so that the citizens of London are aware of this, and so that we understand that these people are accountable for their actions and their deeds.
Okay. Now, if they choose, and we very much expect that they will choose, to stick to their guns, to stick to the statements that they have made, to reassure Londoners that fluoride in their water is safe, and they will continue business as normal, in which case you will do what?
I will take actions as I see fit. I'm planning to submit a request for retraction to them, and I will give them a certain amount of time to think about whether they want to follow my request or not.
We played a clip of you in an interview that I did a little earlier with you this morning off the top of the show. You mentioned a timeline, and you mentioned legal action.
We will see what happens, and we will hope that these people understand the severity of the situation. People put their trust in people of authority, and any action which erodes this public trust in our public health officials is not helpful to cultivate public trust in our democratic institutions.
Are you talking to lawyers?
Yes, I am.
About what?
Next steps.
About the next step. What are the possible next steps?
At this point in time, I'm not willing to speculate as to what next steps will be.
Okay. So basically, you filed these complaints against Dr. Pollitt and Dr. Warshawski. You are giving them 5 days to withdraw some of their statements, and if they don't, you'll be talking to lawyers about possible further action. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay. Carol, I appreciate you joining us this morning. We'll see what position the health unit will take on what you have just said.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're catching Dr. Paul Connett on the fly this morning just to set up our interview with Dr. Warshawski after the 10 o'clock news, if in fact that happens. And I want to warn you, there are some things happening which we'll explain in just a few moments. But back with the man who came to London and drew a packed house to the London Public Library, Dr. Paul Connett, on this controversy when we come back in just a moment here in London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
643 1290.
I now have a lawyer in place, and we expect that if she comes on air this morning, we expect a full retraction of these false and misleading statements. If not, she will be hearing from my lawyer, in which case we will give her 5 working days to provide a written retraction of what is unequivocally false and misleading by deception or omission of material fact, and it will request that it be posted for interested parties.
That is a clip of Carol Clench, who is a science writer in Waterloo, who's been active in the fluoride debate right across the country. The plan was to have Dr. Bryna Warshawski, the Associate Medical Officer of Health from the London Health Office, on with us after the 10 o'clock news, something we've been working for some time. We wanted a direct debate, but we have agreed to all of the conditions of the health unit's agreement with us. What they wanted was to have an interview not with Dr. Connett, not with Pam Colleen or any of the other players, but just one-on-one. We agreed to that. And the basic plan was for a half hour for Dr. Warshawski to present her plan. The comments that Carol Clench has made about lawyers has the health unit reconsidering their position. So we will let you know what happens. They may, in fact, I understand that they are considering not appearing on the show this morning, in which case we will simply soldier on. But we want to issue an invitation to the health unit to move forward with their plan to talk to us. They knew about the allegations from Carol Clench with the Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons, so there's nothing new in that regard. It's just Carol Clench is saying she will talk to lawyers if she does not get a retraction. We want to talk to Dr. Paul Connett, who came to London and drew a packed house at the London Public Library. We understand he's about to catch a plane, so we'll have to hurry here. Dr. Connett, I appreciate you joining us this morning. I know you're off to catch a plane. Where are you this morning?
I'm at Syracuse Airport waiting to fly to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
To speak about?
Actually, waste. On this issue, they're trying to build an incinerator there, and I'm fighting that. I've been for 25 years fighting incineration.
The larger umbrella is you're just trying to make it a healthier world.
Absolutely. I have no axe to grind. As you know, Andy, I do all this pro bono. And whenever a community asks for help, whether it's on waste or whether it's on fluoridation, I'm only too happy to help. It's a real privilege to be able to use one's scientific knowledge to try to level the playing field.
Well, we're going to ask you in just a moment, just to summarize what you're saying and what your questions would be for Dr. Warshawski, who's coming on after the 10 o'clock news this morning. But just very quickly, as you think back, I mean, you're speaking hither and yon and everywhere on this issue of fluoride. Where in all of that does your recent visit to London stand?
Well, it was a very exciting visit indeed. It inspired everybody, 400 people, and people turned away. That's very exciting. And coming after Calgary and Waterloo, it is extremely encouraging for us. But at the same time, it's also very revealing. You know, I feel sorry for Dr. Pollitt and Anna Warshawski. I feel sorry for them because I see them as people that are trapped. They have a position, probably a well-paid position, and their position requires them to support the public policies of Health Canada and the health agencies. And it would be momentous for them to challenge these policies. And I think from Health Canada's point of view, so much of their credibility is staked on keeping water fluoridation going that they're frightened of losing that credibility. And therefore, their minions, their bureaucrats, the people that are in the chain of command, as it were, are required to keep saying that fluoridation is safe and effective, long after they should have stopped, of course, based upon the literature. And all that literature is documented in our book, you know, 80 pages of references. So they can't say that these are claims coming from left field. The evidence that fluoridation works, the evidence that swallowing fluoride actually reduces tooth decay, is extremely weak. That's documented in 3 chapters in our book. And meanwhile, the evidence is incredibly strong that there is no adequate margin of safety to protect from known health effects. And that's one of the things I stressed in London when I was there. There is no argument that fluoride damages health. It's damaged the health of millions of people in India and China. And so the only argument is there an adequate margin of safety?
Dr. Connett, let me jump in. Can you, in 2 minutes, just lay out why we need to get fluoride out of our water? And something that I would like to play for Dr. Warshawski. Maybe the 5 top reasons why we need to get fluoride out of our water.
Number one is a lousy medical practice, because once you put a medicine in the water, you can't control the dose. You can't control who gets it. There's no individual medical supervision, and there's no health agency tracking health effects. It's absolutely shocking that after 50 years, there are practically no health studies done in Canada. And their attitude is the absence of study means the absence of harm, which is nonsense. The evidence that it works is extremely weak, and, of course, it's a violation of the individual's right to informed consent to medication. The government has no right to medicate its citizens without their consent. And that's why it was stopped in Calgary, thank goodness, and that's why it should stop in London. But the issue that I'm most concerned about is the potential for fluoride's damage to the brain. And I'd like to know how it is that Dr. Pollitt can ignore 24 peer-reviewed and published studies from China, from India, and Iran, and Mexico, which indicate this association. And the doses at which this is occurring, lowering of IQ in children with modest exposure to fluoride, they're not high. But one of the studies by Zhang, it's 1.9 parts per million. And if you look at if you recognize the fact that there's only about 300 people in that study, and you're extrapolating to a level that is necessary to protect every child in Canada from that effect, there is clearly no margin of safety. I do the calculations, the standard calculations. One glass of water would be too much. It would not be protective of all Canadian children. Not the average Canadian child, but all Canadian children. And I would like to hear his response to that. Particularly, what is his understanding of margin of safety?
Okay.
How can he ignore these 24 IQ studies and at the same time not insist that these same studies be performed in Canada? I mean, that would be one way out. So, well, we haven't looked at it in Canada, and maybe we should. But they're not looking at it in Canada, and yet they still have the audacity to go to the public and say there are no problems.
Dr. Connett, let me jump in here. You've been through this in many cities. Is there any chance that Dr. Warshawski and Dr. Graham Paulett in the next half hour will say, you know what, we've read Dr. Connett's book, we've done the research, we've had an epiphany, and we have changed our mind, and we'd like to get fluoride out of the water?
Well, they would. If they did that, in my view, they would be tremendously courageous. They would certainly, in my view, be risking their jobs, but that would be the noble thing to do to protect the health of not only the children of London, Ontario, but for the rest of Canada. It would be a very, very important statement on their parts. I hope they've got it in them to do that. And as I say, it would shake up Health Canada to have a breakaway in the middle level of bureaucracy here, but it's what obviously is necessary, and we have had precedents of people, you know, breaking ranks here. Dr. Hardy Lineback was once a very strong proponent of fluoridation. He was an advisor to the Canadian Dental Association on this issue. He was one of Canada's leading dental researchers. He had the guts to come out and say I was wrong. Richard Foulkes was a medical consultant, a doctor for the British Columbia government. And he came out and said, I was wrong, and fluoridation should be stopped. So there are precedents for this, but don't underestimate the amount of courage it's going to take. But, of course, the first thing is to find out if they've actually read the book and whether they are prepared to say that, you know, they may agree or disagree, but I don't think they can disagree that all the arguments are transparent. We've understated rather than overstated. And there's 80 pages of documentation to peer-reviewed and published studies.
One final quick question. That is, bring us right up to date on what is happening across Canada, across North America. Your arguments are very convincing. You've written a book, three PhDs have written a book, The Case Against Fluoride. Is the world gradually getting the message that fluoride has to go?
I think we've made incredible progress in the last couple of years, and I think the book may be the final nail in the coffin. It's given ammunition to citizens all over the country. The recognition by the Department of Health and Human Services in the United States that the levels have to be lowered because our children are being overexposed to fluoride because of the high dental fluorosis rates is another nail in that coffin. So, yes, I think it's given hope to literally thousands of citizens around the United States and around Canada that it is possible to end this 50-year nightmare.
Dr. Connett, so kind of you to join us. You're about to catch a plane. I thank you so much, and we'll let you know what Dr. Warshawski has to say.
Thank you, Andy, and thank you for doing what you're doing. It's absolutely fantastic.
Have a great flight.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, here's the latest from the health unit. They are going to join us in the next hour. It will not be right after the 10 o'clock news. It will be after the news update at 10:30. So in the next half hour, we're just going to chat with Pam Killeen and a couple of people across the country about their thoughts about the debate that we're having in London. And then after the 10:30 news, I will chat with Dr. Bryna Warshawski about the case against fluoride and the position of the Middlesex London health unit. So that should be a lively hour. Make sure you join us. Ed Wilmot standing by with the 10 o'clock news. We'll see you right afterward. And we welcome your calls as we continue to debate the case against fluoride right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Now, London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK, London's premier forum for news, views, and up-to-date information. Here's Andy Udman.
It is 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. If you have just joined us, we will be talking to the Middlesex London Health Unit this hour. We were hoping to do that in this half hour, but for a number of reasons, that's been delayed until after the 10:30 news. I should explain that the debate in this city, of course, has been very animated, shall we say. And we have been trying. It was my hope all along to have a direct debate between Dr. Paul Connett and either Dr. Graham Paulett or Dr. Bryna Warshawski. Unfortunately, the health unit was not comfortable with that for whatever reasons, and we respect that. And so the question was, would we have the health unit on? We certainly want them on. They insisted that it be one-on-one with me and no one else. So we have agreed to that, and that has been set for 10:30. So that should be very interesting. In this half hour, we're going to chat with a couple of people across the country about the debate they've had in their city. We're going to go to Thunder Bay. We're going to go to Calgary. Let's start with Thunder Bay, where the former mayor of Thunder Bay, who was the mayor at the time when fluoride was the hot topic and where they made a decision on fluoride, Lynn Peterson was the mayor at that time a couple of years ago. She joins us this morning from her home in Thunder Bay. Lynn, I appreciate you joining us.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Do I have to call you your worship?
No. Absolutely not. I'm Lynn.
Okay, there we go. Thanks, Lynn. Appreciate it.
I'm not the only mayor in this community that's had the fluoride debate. This debate's gone to plebiscite three times before. Every time, the community said no.
Thunder Bay has said no to fluoride three times?
Four times, sorry. 61, 65, 67, and 76.
Wow. Somebody's very determined to keep pushing pushing the envelope.
You got it.
Okay, Lynn, I want to introduce a person in this city who's been very active in the debate against fluoride, and that's Pam Colleen. Say hello, Pam.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Pam.
Lynn, if you could just for our audience, because we're more or less going through all the debates that have happened in all these other cities. Pam, bring us up to date on what cities have had the fluoride debate and what the decisions have been.
Well, basically in cities like Waterloo, Calgary, Verchères, Quebec, Quebec City, Kamloops, BC, the Niagara region and Thunder Bay. I mean, there's been several cities across Canada that have said no to fluoride.
And very recently.
And in recent history, yes.
Yes, Calgary being the most recent. Lynn, would you share with us the experience in Thunder Bay?
Well, I think that it's pretty much like the experience that other communities are seeing, where the health units are looking at either having it put in or responding to community requests to have it taken out. So very aggressive campaign. Our final meeting, we had many of them, obviously. Our final meeting went till well after 2 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, it was heated. It was certainly very distinctive presentations by the health unit, but also by community members that are just saying no.
In the end, the city of Thunder Bay voted no to fluoride. Why?
For a multitude of reasons. Obviously, I've been listening this morning, and certainly the conversation we had here was about the health aspects of it, whether it was good for you and not good for you, and the health unit saying, well, you know, it's about dental caries and overall health. Nobody's going to deny that a healthy mouth is extremely important to being healthy. But it was about how you made sure that particularly the children and in the community had access to good oral health care. One of the things that came up during the discussion was that the most effective way to treat these kids is to have the fluoride painted on, rather than so that the question, there's a better alternative here.
In other words, the more directly you can put fluoride on the teeth, the better, rather than drink it and have it shower your kidneys.
Well, that's what they told us. And I can remember my kids went to school in this community. Our health unit used to have a swish and spit kind of program where they'd go to the schools and the kids would swish, spit, and that would be it. That was their fluoride. But now, I mean, there's fluoride in toothpaste, there's fluoride everywhere. The other concern that I had through this process was, if you think about it, if you fluoridate your entire water system, 98-99% of that water is not being ingested, probably a bigger percentage than that. It's in your toilets, in your dishwasher, your shower. It's going directly into your water treatment plant that cannot take it out, and it is going into your Great Lakes. Now, I think that we're of an age that we understand putting more crap in our lake is not a good idea.
You use the word crap, referring to fluoride. Why?
Well, you're adding chemicals to a water treatment process that cannot remove those chemicals. In other words, you're putting stuff in that lake that while it's already there in trace amounts, if you're adding a couple hundred thousand pounds of this stuff every decade, only from one community. What's it going to look like in 50 years? We know better.
Describe what your feelings are about the chemical fluoride. Some are calling it, in fact, hazardous waste.
Well, I mean, certainly that argument has been made. And it reacts differently in everybody's water system. So that, like, we tried, our guys did three tests. It certainly changed our water, and we would have had to conduct some more to figure out how we get the balance in. The other thing you have to remember that your staff, if you put that, requires extra training to handle this stuff because it's considered hazardous material.
Well, we already have the staff in place. We're already pouring this stuff into our water. We have just a moment left. What would you say to the health office in London and to our city council on the issue of the fluoride that we are putting in the water? Should we keep pouring it in the water, or should we ditch it?
Well, I have a personal opinion on this. I don't think it should be in the water. But you know what? Your community has to decide this. End of story. It's what they want for their community and for their kids.
But in Thunder Bay, you said no. And you led the battle, along with, I understand, the president of Lakehead University, Fred Gilbert, who I spent a half an hour on the phone with last night. He felt the same way.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you got the mayor of Thunder Bay and the president of the university who said there's no way we're going to let fluoride in our water.
Well, so does the majority of council say that.
Lynn, I appreciate you joining us this morning.
All righty, have a good day.
Pam, what do you think of their example?
Well, I think they're a great example to show that London can follow. I mean, they had a majority. There's no question about that. And I think that we can look to them for answers.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to go to Calgary and talk about their experience. Very recent, just in the last two or three months, they have decided no to fluoride. And then after the 10:30 news, we want to provide an opportunity for the Middlesex London Health Unit to state their case. I can't say definitively what they are going to say, but I did notice, Pam, that Dr. Graham Pollitt very recently said that his office needs to provide more answers in respect to some of the issues raised by Dr. Pollitt.
Right. They want to take a look at the NRC report, the National Research Council report. And Dr. Connett was very clear, you know, one of the big things you need to regard is the risk assessment and margin of safety, things like that. And I don't think that they're considering these factors.
Do you know if either Dr. Pollitt or Dr. Warshawski has read Dr. Connett's book?
Dr. Warshawski said she was starting to read it. The last time, I think it was at the Board of Health meeting, somebody asked her, and she said she was going to read it. So,
having heard all this evidence over the last few weeks, I've become personally convinced that we need to get rid of fluoride. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not a researcher. I've got Dr. Connett's book in front of me. Very impressed. You got three guys with PhDs. But, folks, if you want to weigh in on this, 643-1290, the lines are open. We'll be back in just a moment to go to Calgary to find out what their decision was. Right here in London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
I thought the people opposed to fluoridation were a bunch of wackos. But when I started reading the literature, I was shocked and embarrassed. Embarrassed because I'd been persuaded that people opposed to fluoridation were a little strange. And shocked because some of the information there is extremely disturbing.
I think that Canada is going to lead the beginning of the end of fluoridation worldwide.
And it was an extensive review of the scientific literature, and I have to tell you, I haven't read the document, but what was presented is accurate, it should give everyone pause for concern.
In my mind, Joni Beckler nailed it right there. Joni Beckler, hats off to a London City councillor who actually went to the meeting at the library, went with an open mind, took pages of notes from Dr. Connett, and said, you know what, we deserve more answers. The Middlesex London Health Unit, in my humble opinion, has been very reticent about providing those answers, and that's why we're delighted that they have agreed to join us after the news at 10:30. Would have loved to have had them debate Dr. Connett directly, but apparently that's not within their framework of opportunity. So, Sean, what do you think about all of this?
Hi there, how are you? Yeah, well, I was at the Board of Health meeting, and everybody had questions there, but the Board of Health wouldn't take any questions, so I'm hoping that I can have some of my questions answered when Dr. Brzozowski comes on the air. One thing, I'd like to hear a comment on the from the World Health Organization. They did a 30-year study, over a 30-year study, on countries that fluoridate and countries that don't fluoridate, and it showed the rate of dental decay declined in all countries. And just wanted to bring this quick fact up that only 8 countries in the world fluoridate over half their population. 30 countries fluoridate somewhat, but only 8 of them fluoridate.
Most of Canada and most of the world have said no to fluoride, so I'm simply asking the question, why would we continue to put it in our water? Sean, appreciate the call. We'll go to Lillian. Go ahead, Lillian.
Yeah, my question is related to the fact, I heard years ago that fluoride is a derivative of aluminum.
That's right.
Okay, so I would be really interested, has anyone done a study to see the clusters of Alzheimer's in a community where fluoride is?
It's one of the primary concerns of Dr. Paul Conant is the impact on the brain, especially of small children.
Yes.
And if nothing else, he thinks we should have a warning issue to all new mothers not to use fluoridated water when they're preparing their baby formula. Lillian, I appreciate the question. I want to go to Calgary now to get their experience. Dr. James Beck was played a vital role in convincing Calgary to vote no on the issue of fluoride. Dr. Beck, I so much appreciate you joining us this morning.
Well, I'm glad to do it.
I wish we had more time. I'll let you get right to the point. What happened in Calgary on the issue of fluoride?
Well, we've been working on this problem for a long time, and we have, over the last 10 or so years, some opponents of fluoridation have been in conversation with individual members of city council and groups of them. And I think that the councillors here have been acted in a very responsible way, have made considerable efforts to learn something about the science which is related to the effectiveness and the safety of fluoridation. And of those 10 councillors who voted to stop fluoridation, I think most of them were convinced that fluoridation is neither effective in stopping cavities, nor is it harmless.
Give us your best 90 seconds, if you would, because that's about how much time we have. 90 seconds, 2 minutes, on why London, Ontario should ditch fluoride from the water.
Okay, then. I think London, Ontario has to see the same things that the councillors in Calgary saw. And one of the things that's really easy to understand is the ethical issues on fluoridation. It is a violation of medical ethics to force people to take a medication that's unapproved by a qualified body, where the dose is not controlled, where the person doesn't have the option of stopping it, and where the effects are not monitored. So it's clearly unacceptable, and that doesn't require any scientific or medical or dental background to see.
Dr. Conant links fluoride to a host of serious, serious health issues like lower IQ in children, like brittle bones, like arthritis, and other issues. If that is true, Dr. Beck, should the citizens of London, Ontario not be outraged?
Oh, yes, they should be outraged, and they should be outraged with their public health officials who consistently deny the existence of the hundreds of peer-reviewed publications and reputable journals that point out the possibility, in some cases a certainty, of harms, particularly of susceptible subgroups in the population, like infants, like elderly, like people with a kidney disease, diabetics, and so on. And you should be outraged, and you should demand that these officials who claim that it's safe and effective show us the proof of that.
And for the folks at the Middlesex London Health Unit who we suspect are listening to you right now, could you just share with them what your credentials are to speak on this topic?
Well, I'm a physician and a biophysicist, and I've been studying the scientists behind the issues of fluoridation over the last 10 or 11 years. And I think that there is no question, if anyone with an open mind looks at the scientific literature, they will come to the conclusion that it should not be done. Or at the very least, we should stop until it's proven to be safe and effective, which hasn't been done.
Wow. Dr. Becker, thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
We'll see where the debate goes. We'll let you know.
Okay.
Pam, in just a couple of moments, we're going to be joined by Dr. Bryna Warshawski from the Middlesex London Health Unit. I don't want to be facetious. I want to treat her with the utmost respect. She is the Associate Medical Officer of Health. She speaks for Dr. Graham Pollitt. Do you think that she is qualified to guide London City Council on the issue of whether to keep fluoride in the water?
Well, I think the most important question is, has she read the book? Second to that, what does she plan on doing with regards to this new information? Because this will be new information for her. She's probably never heard or seen this information before, so I think it needs to be acted upon, and I think Dr. Connett is correct that if people within our public health system are brave and courageous enough, that they will come through and do the right thing, and that is to stop fluoridation.
And maybe in the next half hour, she will say, I've read the book, and he's convinced me we need to get rid of fluoride.
That would make a lot of people very happy.
Oh, boy. We'll see what she has to say. We are going to break for the 10:30 news. We have a news update coming up. And then, finally, we are talking to the Middlesex London Health Unit directly, uncensored. It's live. The agreement is just me with Dr. Warshawski, no calls, no Dr. Pollitt, no Pam Colleen. Those are the terms that we had to agree with. We'll see what happens in just a moment. Here on London Today, a News Talk 1290 CJBK. Well, this is a half hour that I very much look forward to because, as I have said for weeks on this program, I would really, really like to hear from the Middlesex London Health Unit in some kind of comprehensive way about this debate about fluoride. Listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a researcher. I don't have 25 years studying hazardous waste like Dr. Paul Connett has, but I've been totally impressed by the way that a grassroots organization here in London has risen up and gotten together and bought that 30-foot or 40-foot billboard at Horton and Warncliffe and demanded that we have an open discussion on this topic, and reached into their pocket and paid the money for the billboard and a lot of other expenses related to their campaign. What I have been rather disappointed in is that the health unit has not embraced the debate, in my humble opinion. And maybe I'm naive as to whether they're able to do that. And that's what I want to start with when I welcome Dr. Bryna Warshawski in just a moment. Dr. Connett said earlier this morning he really feels sorry for the health unit because they can't say what they really feel because they are bound to stick to the company line, as it were. Anyway, I want to welcome the Associate Medical Officer of Health for Middlesex London, Dr. Bryna Warshawski, to the show. Doctor, I really do appreciate you joining us.
You're welcome.
Where to start? Doctor, let me just say a few words about the tone and nature of the discussion that I'd like to have in the next half hour. I want to provide you a full opportunity to say whatever it is you want to say on this issue. It's something that I've wanted all along, is a free and open debate in the last couple of weeks because of Dr. Connett and because of reading his book. I personally, and this is just as a person, am shocked at the links between fluoride and a host of medical issues. I'm totally impressed at the grassroots organization that has risen up to speak on this issue. I've spoken to people in Calgary, in Thunder Bay. I'm just going down the cities which have voted no to fluoride: Niagara, Thorold and Wellham, Thunder Bay, Kamloops, City in Quebec, Waterloo, Calgary, and the list goes on. So my simple question to you is, and it's probably one of the more difficult ones we'll talk about this half hour, Doctor, science changes. And when they made the decision 50 years ago, more than 50 years ago, to put fluoride in the water, it just seemed like a no-brainer. But there is new research. There are new studies. Counselor Joni Beckler is asking for questions after the visit by Dr. Connett. Is it even possible for you as a health unit to say, and let's just imagine that this were the case, that you've read the book, you're totally impressed with Dr. Connett, with the study he refers to in the U.S., you've had an epiphany, and you know what? You think fluoride should be ditched from the water. What would be wrong with doing that? Are you even free to do that?
I'm perfectly free to do however I would like. I'm a physician, and I take an oath to be truthful to the things that I believe, and I've been reading about fluoride for the past 8 weeks, and that's not a lot of time given the volume of fluoride research out there, but there are many, many people who have spent a long time looking at fluoride, both who are opposed to fluoride, as you mentioned, but many scientists from many organizations who have looked at fluoride for many, many years, and it's their conclusions that I'm reflecting along with the reading that I've done over the last 8 weeks. And their conclusions are very clear. Fluoride clearly prevents tooth decay. There's no question about that. It was very easy to show that in the early days when there was no other source of fluoride other than drinking water. In those studies that were done in the early 1940s when they added fluoride to drinking water, they found very clear evidence of very significant declines in decay, so tooth decay, so cavities. There was lots of decay in those days, and it was very easy to see a decline. These days, we've got lots of other sources of fluoride. So we've got it in our toothpaste, and because fluoride's in our water, many of the foods that we eat and beverages that we drink contain fluoride. So even though we have other sources, we are still able to show that fluoride in the water is beneficial. So there's a very good study that was done in 2000 that looked at all the studies that were published and concluded that even when there is lots of other sources of fluoride available, you still do see a benefit from fluoride in drinking water. And they estimate that benefit ranges from about 0% up to about 50%. But the average is around 15%. So when you really think about that number, that means for every 100 kids in our community, 15 of them don't have to have their teeth filled ever because they drink fluoridated water.
Dr. Warshawski, have you read Dr. Pollitt's book, Dr. Conant's book?
I have looked at Dr. Conant's book. I've looked at some of Dr. Conant's information on the website and read some of his information on the website. I must admit I haven't fully read the whole book. I do intend to do that. But as I said, I've been involved in this fluoride issue for the past 8 weeks, and there's just an enormous amount of research to read about fluoride, and I can't propose to be an expert on it in 8 weeks, but have read the literature prepared by experts, and there are experts for the Centers for Disease Control in the United Kingdom, in Australia, in Canada, who have looked at the fluoride issue and concluded that there is benefit from fluoridating the water, and they've not concluded that there are any health risks at the levels that we use fluoride in our drinking water.
Dr. Warshawski, let me say, and I want to stress this, I have high respect for you and for Dr. Pollitt. I want you, in the questions that I'm about to ask, not to confuse my passion for the subject with any of the respect that I have for you. In other words, what I'm saying is I want to disagree with you without being disagreeable. Can we agree on that?
You're certainly entitled to disagree as you please.
Terrific. I want to ask you a tough question. How can you, Dr. Bryna Warshawski, when we have just had Dr. Paul Conant, one of the most respected international authorities on this subject, who has written a book written by three PhDs, how can you have him come to town, not show up at the meeting, not engage him in a debate, and now you're admitting you haven't even read his book? How can you come on the air and refute what he has been saying, which has been part of a body of knowledge which has convinced a half a dozen, more than half a dozen cities all across Canada to say no to fluoride? We just had the mayor of Thunder Bay on, and the president of the university, Lakehead University, Fred Gilbert, on, two very prominent, very articulate people in Thunder Bay who led the campaign to say no to fluoride. You can debate with Andy Udman, who's just a loudmouth, opinionated talk show host, and that's fine. I can't engage you in a debate on all the science. I am not trained in that area. But if I were the Associate Medical Officer of Health and this author and researcher and very savvy, articulate person came to town and provided 2 hours of evidence in person and a mountain of evidence in a book that fluoride could be linked to lower IQ in children, brittle bones, arthritis, and a list of other issues, how can you come on the radio and say, I refute what he says, even though I haven't read his book?
I am aware of the arguments that Dr. Conniff has put forward. I'm also aware of the mountains of research that have been done to support the use of fluoride. And I have been focusing my reading on being aware of the arguments and looking through the literature that speak to those. So there are many reviews out that show that at the levels of that we fluoridate our drinking water, the main effect that we see is something called fluorosis. So what fluorosis is a little white specks on the teeth that happened when we have extra fluoride in our water when we're or in our toothpaste or wherever we're ingesting it when our teeth are developing, which is around anywhere less than 6 years of age, but around 22 to 26 months of age is the peak form of that. So we know that that's the main risk from too much fluoride. And that's the level with which all our standards are set, is to make sure that we do not see fluorosis, because it's the most well-documented effect that we see from fluoride in our water. So we know that because we control the level of fluoride, that there's 0.7 milligrams per liter in our water, which is a very small amount compared to many, many of the other studies that are often quoted, the level in our water is very low at 0.7 milligrams per liter. And at that level, we don't see even any severe fluorosis. We hardly ever see any moderate fluorosis. And what we see is very small amounts of mild and very mild fluorosis. So what that means is that if your dentist looks at your teeth, they may be able to see some white specks on them. But for anybody else, they won't notice anything. And that's the level, that's the most sensitive indicator of fluoride exposure. And we set our levels in our water to be sure that we don't see any severe or any moderate fluorosis. So if you speak to dentists out there, they almost never see even the most sensitive effects from too much fluoride in our community. So that is something that we know for sure. We control by not allowing people to use too much toothpaste and by keeping the water in our fluoride in our water at a very level of 0.7 milligrams per liter. Now, in terms of all the other effects that are referred to, those have been reviewed by many reviews. They've been many reviews of bone fractures, as you mentioned. There's reviews of cancer. And in those reviews, they all conclude that the evidence does not support any associations at the levels that we have fluoride in our drinking water. And there's a large margin of safety as well around the levels in our drinking water. So I have been looking at the literature, but again, it's not just me, right? These are experts that have looked at this in many, many countries. So although you're quoting cities that have chosen not to put fluoride in their water, there are many cities that have put fluoride in the water and many cities that are continuing to add fluoride. So for instance, in several states in the U.S., they are now adding fluoride to their water because the state requires them to do that. So experts who look at the reviews have recommended that people be adding fluoride. And I think it's also really important to keep in mind here that we're about preventing tooth decay. And in Canada, in Ontario, we have very poor services, dental services, for people who can't afford dental care. So up to 50% of people who are low income have no dental insurance in this country. And in in Ontario, we have some programs for children, that's true, but we don't cover all low-income children, and we have almost no programs for adolescents and adults. So when these people get tooth decay, it can lead to pain, infection, they can lose their teeth, it leads to an inability to eat properly, speak properly, and self-esteem, most importantly, so the ability to get jobs. So these are very important things.
They are very important, and we don't question any of that, but it misses the point. I want to take a short break. Dr. Warshawski, my producer's indicating we have to take a short break. It's just a factor of radio. When we come back, we'll have a few minutes to cover a number of other issues. I want to be blunt with you. I cannot believe you haven't read this book. Has Dr. Pollitt read the book?
I don't believe so.
I'm flummoxed at that. I cannot believe that someone who came to town, attracted that many people, is that much in the news, is so highly respected, 3 PhDs, they write a book, 80 pages of references, and you haven't bothered to read the book, which confirms what some have suggested, and including Dr. Pollitt, that maybe you are just overwhelmed by all the research, which to me disqualifies you from making a decision about whether we should have fluoride in the water. We'll be back with just in just a couple of moments with Dr. Bryna Warshawski, Associate Medical Officer of Health with the London Middlesex London Health Unit, in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. In conversation this morning with the Associate Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Bryna Warshawski from the Middlesex London Health Unit. Dr. Warshawski, I want to give you, as I said earlier, your opportunity to say anything that you want to cover. I do have a couple of questions. On a tube of toothpaste, it recommends that if you swallow more than a pea-sized amount of toothpaste, you go to poison control. Tell us about fluoride. Is it not a poison? Is it not a hazardous waste? And what about all these studies suggesting that it may, in fact, be linked to arthritis and brittle bones and a host of other health issues documented by 80 pages of references in Dr. Paul Gonnett's book, which is entitled The Case Against Fluoride, How Hazardous Waste Ended Up in Our Drinking Water, and the Bad Science and Powerful Politics That Keep It There?
So fluoride, in the levels that we have it in our drinking water and have it in our toothpaste, are not a health risk for anything except what we talked about before, which is the fluorosis. And that's the level for which all our safety standards are set, to prevent the earliest thing that can happen from too much fluoride, which is fluorosis. So on our toothpaste, it suggests that children use just a pea-sized amount, because there is fluoride in toothpaste is very concentrated. And you can get in swallowing one strip of fluoride from your toothpaste as much as you would get from drinking a whole day's water. So that's why it's a much different concentration in toothpaste, and it's why they suggest that you just use a small amount. And in fact, what we suggest is children less than three, because we're in a fluoridated community, don't use fluoridated toothpaste, because that's when the teeth are forming and there's most risk for fluorosis. After that, they just can use a pea-sized amount twice a day under the supervision of their parents. But you have to remember that we are in a fluoridated water community, so we get our fluoride through the water, so we don't need it through the toothpaste. If you were to drink fluoridated water and swallow a lot of fluoridated toothpaste, plus getting it in all the other sources, you may end up with too much fluoride. But most people don't swallow the tons of fluoride in their toothpaste, and there's a lot of margin of safety in the levels with which we fluoridate our water.
Carol Clench, who joined us earlier this morning and who's been a vital part of the debate in a string of cities and has convinced those strings of cities to ditch fluoride, suggested this morning that she is giving you 5 days to retract what she calls false and misleading statements, and is talking to lawyers about further activity if you don't do that. She refers specifically to especially high levels of fluoride in the water in specific parts of Middlesex County and specific parts of Oxford, which, of course, is not part of your jurisdiction. But let me ask you this. Has Health Canada done any studies to monitor unwanted outcomes from consuming artificially fluoridated water?
There are lots of studies that have been done to monitor outcomes from fluoridated water. And as we mentioned, the only adverse effect that's been associated with fluoridated water at the levels that we have it in North America has been fluorosis. You mentioned fractures before. So there have been lots of studies that looked at fractures in drinking water that we have it. And they've all concluded that when you put all of them together, they cause no effect. The fluoride in our drinking water at our levels cause absolutely no effect on fractures. So there's a study that was done in the UK. It looked at 29 studies. It put them all together, and it showed that almost all of them show there's no effect on fractures at the levels that we drink it. There may be a few showed a slight increase, and a few showed a slight decrease. And there are some researchers that actually suggest that perhaps low levels of fluoride that we get it in our drinking water may be protective. Now, that's not confirmed, but clearly the studies to show that it has an adverse effect on fractures are not there.
We have about 3 minutes left. My question was, has Health Canada done any studies?
Oh, yeah. Health Canada has put together all the research that is out there, so you're probably aware that there is a document that was put out for comment. The comments closed in November 2009. It summarizes all the research that's been done looking at the effects of fluoride on tooth decay, but also on the adverse effects that are out there. And and has put their conclusions out in a draft for comment, and concluded that there's no evidence to support any adverse effects other than the fluorosis, as we've talked
about. Okay, we have 2 minutes left. I have to ask you a couple of tough questions. Are you rejecting Dr. Conant's book on research, 80 pages of references?
You mentioned not having read Dr. Conant's book. I have looked at Dr. Conant's book. I'd like to be clear about that. I've looked particularly at the sections with regard to the adverse effects, because that's the part that I've been asked to focus on more recently. The problem with the way people look at science is we tend to look at one study at a time. What the reviews do is they look at the totality of the evidence. They put it all together.
And that's what Dr. Conant has done.
And they have experts look at it and come up with the conclusions. Universally, they've come up with the conclusions that based on the research that exists, that the only adverse effect that we see is the fluorosis of the teeth at the levels with which we add fluoride to drinking water. And we control that by the amounts we put in our drinking water and by our recommendations about toothpaste use for kids less than
2 minutes left. I have to ask you this. Why wouldn't you debate Dr. Conant? I had suggestions from your office that you didn't feel qualified.
The research is out there to support this, and there have been many, many articles published. Health Canada actually did answer many of the questions that are put forward by people who are opposed to fluoride, so those discussions have been happening.
Why wouldn't you debate Dr. Conant? What's the harm?
Dr. Conant is perfectly entitled to present his view, and we're presenting our view, which is based on the science.
Why wouldn't you read his book?
Many researchers. I have read part of his book, and I do intend to read part of his book. As I mentioned, we've been involved in this issue for about 8 weeks, and there's many, many things to read.
One final question.
I've been focusing on the science at the moment, but do fully intend to read Dr. Conant's
book. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we have just a minute and a half left. Are you saying, Dr. Bryna Warshawski, that Joni Beckler, who went and listened to Dr. Conant for 2 hours and took copious notes and is alarmed by some of the research he has presented, are you saying that she's simply wrong and misinformed? Are you saying that the city of Calgary and Waterloo and Thunder Bay and a string of other cities I have mentioned, that they're just not informed? But you, who have not read Dr. Conant's book in full, just simply know better.
I'm quoting the research that has been done, what we call systematic reviews that have looked at the totality of the evidence, both for the benefit and for the adverse effects, and that those reviews have consistently showed that the side effect that we do see from fluoride is the fluorosis of the teeth, and the levels that we put it in our drinking water are intended to minimize that, and we see that in our community. We see no severe fluorosis, hardly any moderate fluorosis, and only very mild or mild fluorosis, which again is something that's only noted by a dentist.
Doctor, we've been so wrong about Vioxx, about thalidomide, and so many other drugs. Heaven help us if we're wrong on this one and it proves that Dr. Conant was right and that fluoride is linked to a string of health disorders, because you and Dr. Paulett and the health unit have condoned fluoride in the water. We'll continue this conversation another day, I hope. Dr. Warshawski, I thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Okay, Andy, take a deep breath. You can judge for yourself, folks. I'm just shocked that she has not read the full book, and neither has Dr. Paulett. Absolutely shocked. Anyway, we're going to leave it there. The debate continues. The 11 o'clock news coming up in just a moment. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning at 9, right here on News Talk 1290, CJBK.